ॐ पूर्णमदः पूर्णमिदं पूर्णात् पूर्णमुदच्यते पूर्णस्य पूर्णमादाय पूर्णमेवावशिष्यते ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः
ॐ दट् ब्रह्मन् इज़् इन्फिनिट् and this universe is also infinite. The infinite proceeds from the infinite. Taking the infinitude of the infinite universe, it remains as the infinite Brahman alone. Om, peace, peace, peace be unto all. So in our last class, we completed all the 12 upasanas. First, Gargya had enumerated what he knew, and Ajatashatru went on adding, and then Gargya became a fit disciple. Now Ajatashatru has to take him from the Saguna Brahma to the Nirguna Brahma. Then Ajatashatru, after hearing about the 12 upasanas from Gargya, asks him, Etavanno, only this much? Do you know anything more? Gargya kept silent. He lowered his head, but then he must have practiced all the upasanas. So he had developed a tremendous amount of viveka, vairagya, humility. And he said, I thought I knew much more, but you have opened my eyes. Now, please lead me further, because I am eager to realize Brahman. Let us remember, no teacher will ever lead a person to what he cannot desire, he cannot even attain. Everybody has to go step by step to that highest reality. So, the real teaching starts from here. Just as a brief introduction, so Gargya becomes silent, and how he became the student. In the 14th mantra, in the second chapter, first section, we get Saha Vacha Ajatashatru Etavannu Iti. Ajatashatru asked, do you know anything more than this? And then the truthfulness comes out. Etavadhi Iti. I know, sir, only this much. And Ajatashatru, he rejoins, Naitavata Viditam Bhavati Iti. With this much only, you are not going to become a knower of Brahman. This is only the knowledge of the Saguna Brahma. That means you will not get mukti. Saho vacha Gargya upatvaya niti. Hearing this, Gargya says, what did he say? Upatvaya niti. Tva means you. Upaya niti. I am approaching you, eager to learn from you. Accept me as your student, and out of your boundless grace, enlighten me. And when a teacher really gets a fit student, endowed with all these sadhana chatushtaya sampatti, fourfold qualities of a true sadhaka, seeker, he would never reject. If you remember, Ramakrishna knew very well. One day, he was scolding Hajra. These are the small children like in spiritual life. Do you think they understand the highest truth that you are trying to inject into them? Because this Hajra used to say, I am Brahman, I am that. Sri Ramakrishna did not reveal the truth. You are a fool. You are not even as much advanced as these people. You are full of egotism and you are only thinking that you are a great spiritual person. Swamiji used to ridicule him. Hajra, Dada, elder brother, I have not seen anybody with such big Rudraksha mala, huge beads. And then this fool did not understand. Swamiji was making fun of him. Because the bigger the bead, the greater is the devotion, knowledge. That's what he thought. But Sri Ramakrishna's leela
is difficult to comprehend. So he, out of his infinite compassion, he kept him. And he told later on, I keep him because without these buffoons, Jatila and Kutila, the play will not be complete. And whenever Sri Ramakrishna finds people who are neither willing nor capable of understanding, he used to gently tell them, there are beautiful things in this Dakshineswar temple compound. Please go and enjoy them. You enjoy. It is not a rejection by Sri Ramakrishna. It is simply telling, you will be wasting your time, I will be wasting my time. But Ajatashatru himself trained him by inculcating into him all these marvelous qualities through upasana. What is upasana? Tremendous amount of what we call training the person. Think with deep concentration on this quality. So whatever we think deeply, that's what we end up becoming. So Ajatashatru must have recognized. In fact, Ajatashatru must have found out the potentiality of Gargya even before that. Here is a very fit student. It is my duty to lead him. Here also we have to understand everybody and anybody, even a knower of Brahman, cannot be a teacher unless he is authorized by God. Authorization means there will be power, there will be clarity, and the teacher understands the minds of each one of his pupils, and he will give the appropriate training. Some people, you may say, you meditate. Some people will say, don't meditate. You just do the japam. So, according to the fitness, the teacher will tell. That special capacity to understand and direct, that's a great quality in any type of teacher, be it physics, chemistry, etc. So, Gargya accepted his lack of knowledge. Let me now come to you as a student. There is a beautiful saying you might have heard. Guru mile lak lak, chela na mile ek. In this world, we may get teachers in millions, but a true disciple is extremely rare. So Gargya realized his limitation and he was humble enough to acknowledge this. Unlike Shvetaketu, remember in the Chandogya Upanishad, Shvetaketu, when his defects were pointed out by his own father, and then he said, let us go and learn, he refused to come. So much of arrogance was there. So, an eager student is always open to sit under the feet of anyone who has the desired knowledge. So, here something peculiar. Even at that time, Brahmins were what you call the teachers. And they made themselves the teachers. They authorized themselves. Some good they have done, but a lot of harm also they have done. Instead of saying, anybody who knows can be a teacher, said, no, only Brahmins can be teachers. And that is a kind of arrogance, ignorance. That is what in the Mundaka Upanishad we get, that blind people, and they do not recognize that they are blind, but they take upon themselves the role of leading others. Ande naiva niyamana yathandhaha. So, I don't remember, it may be in Katha Upanishad or Mundaka Upanishad. Now, Ajatashatru's reaction. Ajatashatru was a realized soul, and it is unnecessary to say that he was a fit person. He every Naira Brahman will be a fit person only. He said, the tradition is Brahmins will teach and everybody else will sit humbly and try to learn. But then you are asking me to upset the tradition. Pratiloma means is the opposite way. A Kshatriya becomes a teacher, a Brahmin will become a student. Yat etat Brahmana Kshatriyam upayat Brahma me vakshati iti. You are a Brahmana, I am a Kshatriya. That a Brahmana can approach a Kshatriya You teach me especially about Brahman. Vievatva vignapayishyami iti. But you are an earnest student. When an earnest student comes, there is a rule. He should never be rejected. Dronacharya committed this terrible mistake. Ekalavya was even more fitted, but in his arrogance, Dronacharya, he behaved extremely badly. Not only he refused to teach, when he came to know that Ekalavya had chosen him as the guru, made a small image of his own guru out of clay and as if he was teaching, because the real teacher, we can understand, is neither Jatashatru, nor Dronacharya, nor Sri Ramakrishna. It is only Mother Saraswati who teaches. So, then he demanded Guru Dakshina without teaching. And what Guru Dakshina? You cut off your thumb, without which Ekalavya will be incapable of practicing archery. We have to learn these lessons, that in Mahabharata also, there are so many defects of characters are there, even though Arjuna revered him so much. There was a defect in Dronacharya, even in Bhishmacharya. But we have become blind. What the Puranikas tell us, Bhagavatars tell us, oh, Bhishma was an unparalleled person. Dronacharya was a great acharya. No. Dronacharya, for example, should never have taught his own son, Ashwatthama, who is completely unfit, because a man of character alone can be taught this highest of the Brahma Astra. Arjuna was okay. And we know what was the result, what had happened. But because of his blind love, this is my son. And that also, the child did not learn fully. He only knew how to discharge, not how to stop. What about Bhishma? Bhishma was supposed to be an incarnation of Dharma. He knew Dharma, but he was never an incarnation of Dharma, because he saw so many things. Even after knowing how much of injustice, how much of cruelty his Kauravas were practicing, either he should have joined Pandavas, or he should have gone to a forest and lived. But neither he did. He stuck, he fought along with Kauravas, and then he destroyed so many of these army of the Pandavas. From a historical point of view, that's not acceptable at all. Anyway, coming back, so Ajatashatru said, this is not in the tradition, because there is something we have to understand. There are certain duties incumbent upon Brahmins. What are they? First of all, Adhyayana and Adhyapana. So, a Brahmin has to be engaged in continuous learning. And then whatever he understands, he should give it freely, not expecting any fees or anything. That is called Adhyapana. Then, Yajanam, Yajanam. He can do Ignas, etc. by himself. And if somebody, a king, for example, employs him, so he should do. Yajanam means he should do himself. Yajanam means if somebody requests him to perform, then he should perform it. Yajanam. Then Dhanam. That is, he can accept charity, because he doesn't accumulate anything. He doesn't possess anything. So he should live a simple life, as Socrates tells of philosophers. Very simple life. So simple living, high thinking. And then tapasya. He must perform always austerity so that he will be revered. Shudhiram was such a person. He never expected anything from anybody. That is why God himself wished to be born as this child of Shudhiram. It is not only the life of Sri Ramakrishna, the life of his parents was unparalleled. Just meditate on Kshudhiram. Meditate on Chandramani. Then you will understand what I am talking about. Such a guileless person was the mother of Sri Ramakrishna. Nothing will be hidden in her as they say, pete kichu ragbena. She will not keep anything hidden. That is the meaning. Everything she tells openly. And people used to ridicule. They say, you are such a foolish woman, so innocent. You should not talk to people what is in your mind. But Sri Ramakrishna loved that and said, my mother is an example, what is called satya. The thought, the speech and the action should be one and never deviate from each other. Sridharam, he said, Sri Ramakrishna said, before this storm of spiritual sadhana, like a ghost caught hold of my head and made me go through, I used to think I will follow the footsteps of my father. Most of the ancient rishis were like that. So, even though a brahmanas, what is it? He should learn, he should teach, he has to perform special yajnas, and if he is employed, he can assist a maharaja or a great prince, etc. And he must accept. If he has more, he can also give, distribute it with others. And at the same time, he must do tapasya, because such a person is called a brahmana. Now, in this case, Ajatashatru says, I am a kshatriya, even though I am a brahmavit. But I will accept you because you are a proper person, a fit student. But you don't need to sit below me. You don't need to make pranams to me. But on the contrary, I will just treat you as my friend and I will tell you. Then he said, vi eva tva gnapayushyamiti. That is, eva. I will definitely teach you what is vignapayushyami. I will let you know whatever I know. Then what did he do? Tam panav adayav tastav. Probably both were sitting. So, Ajatashatru caught hold of the hand of Gargiya because he wanted to teach him something. And then he said, come with me. So, anybody can be a teacher. Even from a chandala, even from a baby, we can learn. From now onwards, the real teaching about the Nirguna Brahma starts. What steps did Ajatashatru take to prove that man's real nature is actually divine? Swami Vivekananda's, each soul is potentially divine. So, that means each soul is none other than Atman or Brahman, Aham Brahmasmi. But potential means, for now it is hidden, like a huge tree is hidden inside a tiny seed, like banyan seed. So what did Ajatashatru do? To teach Gargiya Balaki that the jiva, every one of us, not only Gargiya, each one of us is Brahman, the highest ultimate reality. So Ajatashatru used a very brilliant process of illumination followed by practical demonstration, using deep sleep as an example. What did he do? So to demonstrate the truth, jiva is no other than Brahman, Ajatashatru takes Gargiya by the hand and leads him to a man who is fast asleep. When you read this particular portion, you may get the word Balaki. So Gargiya and Balaki, at the very beginning it is mentioned, they are one and the same person. I am using frequently the word Gargiya, but you might come across Balaki also. So approach a person who is deeply asleep. So this, as we know, is the third state of experience. Jagrat, waking state, where the body, mind, all the sense organs function. Then only mind functions with the impressions gathered during the waking state, either in this life or in many of the past lives. That is called Svapnavastha, the state of dreaming. And then we all enter. These are all our day-to-day experiences. So, what is the third stage? Deep sleep. So here he found out a person and then he wanted to, through this deep sleep person. That means taking the deep sleep As an example, Ajatashatru wanted to teach what happens in the state of the deep sleep. Now, we should not equate deep sleep with being abiding in Brahman, because this is also a temporary state only. But it will do as an illustration. What is deep sleep? Absolutely, there is no mind. When we say there is no mind, no body awareness is there, no awareness of the mind, that means no awareness of the entire creation, and the person is beyond time, space and causation, and he abides at the nearest state to the real state of Brahman. So, we must always keep in mind deep sleep, that is all we can say. You can't take a person, a student, say when Sri Ramakrishna was in Nirvikalpa Samadhi, look, this is the Nirvikalpa Samadhi person. No, even if you take a knife and then pierce him, he would not be awake from that state. Because deep sleep can be woken up even with a little bit of beating. But the state of Brahman, you can never wake him up. You have to understand these words properly. Because once a person enters Nirvikalpa Samadhi, it is not that like deep sleep, he will come back and then he will act like an ignorant person. Whenever you see a person who is awoke, you take your own case. You are so peaceful. Several hours you have slept so deeply. You have gone out of time, space and causation. And that is the real cause why you are so happy, because there is no dvitiya, there is no second. And what happens when there is a second, whether it is in the dream state or waking state, when a person is experiencing a second means any number, not only one, then the person, his mind can be happy, unhappy, and infinite number of moods can happen. But when a person, even if he is so-called Jivan Mukta, his mind is permanently anchored in that knowledge, I am Brahman. And this state, Ramana Maharshi used to call Sahaja Samadhi. Sahaja means what? Once a person gets this experience, he cannot be separated from it. So, even in the waking state, a Jivan Mukta perceives the waking state like you are perceiving a cinema. Supposing you yourself have acted, or a better example would be, supposing you are acting in a cinema, and in that cinema, your life is being shown. So it is 10 o'clock at night, and you go to bed, and you are deeply asleep. Many things happen around you, but you are not aware of it. Then you wake up. Then your waking state starts. After some time, you sit and go on either daydreaming, or if you go to lie down on bed, you will be having invariably some kind of dream. Imagine you are acting all these states, but you are also watching. So you are watching them, and yet you know that you are watcher, continuous watcher of all the three states, which is not the case. In our case, when I am in the waking state, I become a participant and a witness of the waking, so also in the dream, so also in the deep sleep state. Am I conscious of myself in the deep sleep state? I have dealt with this subject so many times. Yes, you are completely conscious. So if somebody asks you, when you are taking a leisure walk in your waking state, are you in the waking state? He says, of course, I can see you, I can hear you, I can reply to you. And when you are in the dream state, then in dream also, you feel exactly the same thing. I am awake, you feel. Only when you wake up from the dream and come back to the waking up state, then you say, that was all my mental imagination. Imagination, but it is not the real waking state. But so long as we are dreaming, that is the pure, just like waking state, no difference at all. But when it comes to the deep sleep state, we have a problem. Because I don't remember anything. Don't you remember? Definitely you remember. You don't remember something, but you remember something. What is it you don't remember? That tomorrow morning I have to go to work. I have got lot of pending work in the office and my boss told me to complete it. That you don't remember. Because the entire world, both waking and dream, have disappeared. But what do you say when you wake up? Oh, I was so happy. I did not know anything. Did you not know I was experiencing happiness? Definitely you know it. Did you not know I did not know anything? Because to know something, and as well not to know something, only a knower can tell. Because if a knower doesn't know what he doesn't know, he can't tell, I don't know. But we are always telling, do you know such and such a person? No, I do not know. Do you know such and such a person? Of course, I know him very well. So you are knowing one person very well and not knowing anything about the other person. I know, I don't know. Both you are the knower of both these. When there is light, I see so many things. When there is darkness, I don't see anything. So what do you say? I know I can't see anything. That is a very valid knowledge. And a book, for example, is not found in a room. I discussed also this point. This is called abhava pratyaya. This is also a pramana. Usually, you keep a book in your own bedroom, but one day you don't find it. You know that nobody had taken it out of the house. That means this is a knowledge. There is a book. I know my book is here. I know my book is not here. You have complete knowledge of both these experiences. And this knowledge, the book is not there, leads you, then it must be anyatra, somewhere else. So usually I saw my family member reading. So you will go to that room and you are invariably you find that book there. So you see, even in the deep sleep state, it is not that we are unconscious. We are completely conscious. This consciousness, which is witnessing all the three states, never becomes absent. That is why in the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, in 1.4.10, it says, this vijnana, that is pure consciousness, it will never be absent. But the secondary consciousness, that is the borrowed consciousness of the mind, it is not only changing, but it is also borrowed. Therefore, the mind can have non-conscious state. But that consciousness, pure consciousness, which the mind is borrowing, can never be absent because it is beyond time, space and causation. We are aware of time because of that consciousness. We are not aware of time, that is also because of that consciousness. So, deep sleep also, we are completely aware. These are some of the important points we have to keep in mind. I hope you will keep in mind. Then only the teaching of Ajatashatru becomes easier for us to understand. So Ajatashatru goes and then he finds a sleeping person. This is all for teaching to Gargiya. And then he calls, addressing the sleeping man by the names of prana. We have seen in the second upasana, Chandra upasana, upasana of the moon, these are the Brihan, Pandaravasa, Somaraja. These are the three epithets given to Chandra. Brihat means very big. Pandaravasa means pure white. Somaraja means a very enjoyable state of mind. So when we look at the moon, our joy becomes because there is no object. Oh, I want to eat the moon. I want to fry it and then eat. Such things will not be there. It is just a pure joy. And everybody can enjoy it. The same moon. which is, if you are enjoying a sweet meat, everybody cannot enjoy the same sweet meat which you have. But this moon can be enjoyed by everybody. There is no doubt about it. That is called Somaraja. That's why this Somarasa, they call it. Somarasa is the result of the influence of the moon. And that gives a very pleasant intoxication where you can have divine visions. That is why they used to frequently use it in yajnas, yagas, and there are even horrible descriptions. Indra drank so much of this wine, he started talking irrelevantly. So that is also possible. There is a matra, there is a measurement beyond which you lose your control. So Ajatashatru, pointing out to the sleeping man, he calls names. And by the way, the same names are applicable to Samashti Pranadevata also, which is Hiranyagarbha. So he addresses by these names. Of course the man cannot hear. Then Ajatashatru lightly touches the man. He strikes him lightly. And every time he increases the pressure, the force. And he did not wake up. And after some time, he shakes him very violently. And then the man wakes up. That is all the necessary event for Ajatashatru to teach about. That's all. That incident is closed. Then Ajatashatru asks, addressing Gargiya, he says, now this Jivatma, because this person, where did he go? Where was he residing when he could not respond either to calling his names and calling, touching, shaking, only violently shook? And how did he come? Where was he and how did he come? So taking the deep sleep as a model, for studying, as a hypothesis, wants to point out, if deep sleep itself can give so much of joy, so much of knowledge of Brahman, I will shortly come to that. Then, if a person really has Brahman knowledge, how much he can gain? Because the nearest state where Brahman, pure consciousness, can manifest is this deep sleep state. And the next is the dream state. Remember, what is the difference between waking and dream state? In the waking state, time, space and causation are heavily restricted. Whereas in the dream state, you can fly to the Mars, United States. You can become anything you want. You can embrace anybody you want. You can eat anything you want. You can become a great king, etc., etc. But the moment you come to the deep sleep state, I am forestalling what is about to come. Beautiful description this Brihadaranyaka Upanishad gives us. So, this person, whether a Maharaja is, a great king is sleeping, a baby is sleeping, a dog is sleeping, a sinner is sleeping, an evil person is sleeping, a mosquito is sleeping, a tree is sleeping, it makes no difference. They have exactly the same experience. So in deep sleep, there is no world. That means there is no second. Ekameva advitiyam. Of course, until it lasts. And then it is a state where the person is aware that I am. I am not a man. I am not a dog. I am not a Maharaja, I am not a baby, but just I am. What type of I am? I exist. And then I am so happy. And I know I exist and I am very happy. So I am Sat, I am Chit, I am Ananda. This is the nearest state. That is why our senior Swamis call it poor man's Samadhi, poor man's Nirvikalpa Samadhi. Anybody, everybody. We all get it. And then we are experiencing it. But the tragedy is, we never study it. And it is only these great Hindu scriptures, practically every Upanishad, Chandogya, Brihadaranyaka, Mandukya especially, made it a special subject of its study. Because Nobody studies what is this phenomena called deep sleep. So, through deep sleep, he wants to give an example, like you know. So, have you seen this animal? No, sir. But do you know anything about this animal? No, sir. I will tell you, it's an animal which lives in a deep forest. It looks like a cow. It is not a cow, but in many respects, it looks like a cow. Many similarities are there. So, next time when this person goes into the forest, suddenly happens to see this animal, he knows definitely this is not a cow, but he remembers the words of the wise person, says this must be that special type of cow about which my friend, my teacher told me it looks like a cow, but absolutely not a cow at all. So that is how, through this analogy, taking the analogy of the deep sleep, that is the only way. There is no other way. You cannot mano yato vacho nivartante aprapya manasasaha. So, Ajatashatru wants to give this example of deep sleep. Through the model of the deep sleep, he wants to convey. Just imagine that a person continuously will be abiding in that deep sleep state. A deep sleep state where a person doesn't come out of it to experience another state, and it is a state experienced with full consciousness as we experience the waking and the dream states, and yet he knows. In fact, this person experiences all the three states completely, and he watches, I am only manifesting at the waking, I am only manifesting as the dream, I am only manifesting as the deep sleep, but this deep sleep has got some very special characteristics. Through them, through meditation on them, through upasana on them, one will finally attain Brahma Jnana. So Ajatasattva asks, pointing out that incident was over, says this Vijnanamaya Purusha, that means the real man, that means the pure consciousness within this Jivatma, is called Jivatma, Vijnanamaya, pure consciousness, Chetana Jiva, and this is the highest manifestation in human beings, and especially in awakened human beings. Where was it buried? And from where did it return and identified itself with the physical body after this person was violently shaken? Balak, Gargya, was unable to comprehend the mystery, admits he simply doesn't know. So, waking state, dream state were analyzed. Why are we not able to understand this deep sleep state? Ajatasattva teaches now, Gargya, that discovering the true human being or the true self is an exceptionally difficult task, because it is not something visibly or easily intelligible. He clarifies why he specifically chose a sleeping man rather than a waking person or even a dreaming person to illustrate the knowledge of Brahman. What happens in our waking state? During our waking hours, our consciousness is scattered outward, behaving much like, you know, sparks of fire spread over millions of different things. We become acutely aware of external space, the passage of the time process, and we identify with myriads of objects outside ourselves. And this is a point we have to clearly understand. When I see a man, I become that man. That means my eyes go and take an impression of that object and present it to the mind, and the mind becomes one with that photo, so to say, and then for the time being, it becomes, when a person says, when we say, I know this person, whenever we say that, we have to identify ourselves with that person, our vritti, and the object outside, artha and jnana, vak and artha, vagartha viva, sampruktav, inseparable. Mentally you can separate, discriminatingly you can separate. Actually, you cannot separate. So we become identified. Then we may like, we may become attached, or we may become, we may hate. We may not like that person. We cherish whatever it is. I like this person. I don't like this person. Then I become love of that person. I become hated of that person. Love and hatred. Then we forget. Our consciousness forgets. I am pure consciousness. And then remains identified, thinks in that delusory way and reacts with that delusory knowledge. That is why the waking state cannot be a right model to describe consciousness. So, and then the waking state is constant distraction, fragmentation, time, space and causation. Everything is fragmented. That's why waking state is not a good example to teach about Brahman. What about dream state? So during deep withdrawal in of ourselves into the dreaming state, there also we create, our own mind creates the exact same physical world. We get attached there also. We get attached to places, persons, events, emotions, experiences, everything. And that is complete opposite knowledge to Brahman knowledge. But when a person enters, withdraws himself from the waking, from the dream, and enters into the deep sleep, the state of deep sleep serves as the perfect symbol for understanding the true self or the Atman or Brahman. So in both waking and sleeping, the individuals possess the self, and then we separate ourselves. I am different. Everything else is different. In deep sleep, the central consciousness withdraws all external experiences into itself. And then, not only that, along with that mind, all our sense organs, excepting the prana, completely withdrawn inwards. Senses such as speech, sight, hearing, all other things cease to function entirely. And even the thinking mind is deactivated. All transactions and communications with the external world are definitely put to an end. The self no longer wanders. It rests in its own pristine purity within the cosmic space, or the what is called Dhara Akasha, ether of consciousness, located in the center of the heart. Hridaya Kamala Madhye Rajitam Nirvikalpam Sada Sadakila Bheda Atitam Ekaswarupam. In this profoundly quiet state, there is a practical non-existence of the individual, because an individual is an individual only in comparison with the world. When there is no world, I do not think I am an individual. For all conceivable external purposes, the self alone remains. But remember, even here also, that awareness, it is a broken temporarily, as if we are in the Nirvikalpa Samadhi. So temporary Nirvikalpa Samadhi is called Sushupti. And permanent Sushupti can be called as Nirvikalpa Samadhi. Beautiful thoughts, some more are there. So let us take our own time to understand this properly. What we are talking is not theory. It's what we are experiencing every day of our life. We are circulating from one state to the other. Not only at night we go into deep sleep, but in between two thoughts, we also go into that same state about which we will talk in our next class. Om Jananim Sharadam Devim Ramakrishnam Jagadgurum Pada Padme Tayo Sritva Pranamami Mohur Mohoho. May Ramakrishna, Holy Mother and Swami Vivekananda bless us all with bhakti. Jai Ramakrishna.